Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Thanks, Tam. Woo! Yes, who is hungry for the word today? Anyone out there? Food tastes so much better when you're hungry for it. I find it goes down so much better when I'm actually hungry. And the same thing goes for the word of God this morning. And hey, I've already tasted what I'm about to serve you today. And I trust me, it is good for your soul. It tastes good. And I've been slow cooking it all week. Who loves slow cooked meals? Slow cooking it in prayer most mornings. Monday night, Tuesday night, with the Holy Spirit typing it up. Had an amazing morning of prep. So thank you for all those who've been praying for me this week. Thursday went over it. Yesterday came down to church to pray and to practice it. Went over again this morning and ping, it was ready. Ready to serve to you. So I pray that it fill you up this morning. Why don't we pray? Why don't we devote and focus again our attention to God? Why don't we allow Him over these next 20, 25 minutes to really speak to us? So why don't you, if you feel comfortable, why don't you open your hands? Why don't you close your eyes? Lift your head to heaven. Put on a smile to God and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm hungry for your word today. Help me to receive revelation. Help me to be set free. Help me to receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a clap offering of praise. You're ready to receive. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Jack. I ask you guys to come up again at the end of this message. Hey, we are in a preaching theme called Free Indeed. And we are following on from our Easter series, and we are stepping into, going deeper into what it means to live in the freedom purchased for us on that cross. And today I'm going to be preaching specifically into freedom from sin and death. Freedom from sin and death. And I'm coming after all of you who are being held back in life because of your past and your present sin. Because too many Christians, they know that they are forgiven, but they don't know that what that means is that now you can now live free. Free from living in that guilt and shame of sin. And let me put it this way. There is a difference between living in forgiveness and living in freedom. God wants you to live in both. You can be forgiven but still not feel free. And today God is going to set some captives free today by giving you a deeper revelation and understanding about what Jesus actually achieved for you on that cross. Amen. So we are focusing on the book of Galatians in this series. And today we're coming out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. So if you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5, we're only going to go through it once, so make sure you're focusing on what it says. And as you get ready, let me introduce you to my message title this morning. And as promised, I will have a prop to help with my message title this morning. So for those taking notes, my message title is Water Off a Duck's Back. Like water off a duck's back. And by the end of this message, that should make sense and should help you remember when you're shopping today what I actually preached about. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Oh, this first verse is so powerful. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ, everyone say in Christ. Remember that for a bit later in this message. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. And now verse 9 is very interesting. Paul uses a saying, an expression of that time, which really just spoke to what he was talking about. He said, a little yeast, just a little yeast, works through the whole batch of dough. Verse 10, I'm confident in the Lord that you'll take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. So here Paul is writing a letter to the churches in Galatia because even though they had received the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'd started to turn away from its beautiful simplicity, that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But there were some false teachers who had started to corrupt this simple gospel message, and they were saying that you still had to earn your salvation and forgiveness through works and by obeying the law. And I wonder if we can all just for a moment maybe put ourselves in their shoes and reflect on that. Maybe we can relate to them in some way. Because remember when you first received Jesus, you accepted his love and grace in its simplicity and you felt so alive and free and it was awesome. But maybe now you've been following him for many years, even decades, some of you. And you've started to just complicate the gospel a little bit. Because over time, false teaching may have corrupted your thinking. Like, you know, when you make a mistake in front of some family or friends or at work, and they make those comments, oh, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. Oh, that's not very Christian of you. I thought a Christian didn't struggle with that. And other people's expectations of us being as perfect as Christ himself has started to corrupt our thinking and our heart. We think, yeah, they're right. I shouldn't struggle with that as a Christian. Yeah, they're right. I need to get my act together. I need to do better than this. How can I call myself a Christian right now? And we start to put our faith back in the things of the law and by just doing good Christian works. And we find ourselves falling away from the freedom that Christ has purchased for us. Oh, I know I'm forgiven as a Christian, but I'm not really actually living like it, living free. And it happens because of the smallest thing that starts to corrupt that simple truth of the gospel. And just as I mentioned, Paul uses that metaphor, a saying, an expression of the time that illustrates this point. Remember verse 9, a little yeast, just a little bit, works through the whole batch of dough. A saying like that in that day and culture would have really illustrated his point that all it takes is a little bit of false teaching and that can work its way into our culture, belief, and the way that we express our faith. Now, I actually really love it when people use sayings and expressions in everyday conversation. I think it's so clever, sometimes hilarious, and so interesting. And I'm going to go through some examples this morning, and I've chosen appropriate examples because, if I'm honest, some of the funniest sayings are not church appropriate, so we're going to just do church appropriate sayings, obviously. Look, I'm just being honest. That's cool. I have a weird sense of humor sometimes. And actually, let's get interactive with this, all right? I'm going to start a saying of our time. You should know it, and I want you all to finish it. So we're going to test you, okay? I'm going to start with the kids, the younger ones, teenagers. Let's see if you can get this one first, because your parents have probably said this to you and they've packed your lunchbox. So finish this saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. I wish it was a chocolate a day kept the doctor away, but that's not how it works. All right, everyone, all together. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't judge a book by its cover. A picture is worth a thousand words. Kill two birds with one stone. Now, in my household, I'm not allowed to say this saying because my wife, who's an animal lover, says that it's mean and I get in trouble. So instead, I've had to modify the saying. I have to say to feed two birds with one seed. It doesn't make sense, but at least I'm not killing birds. My wife has a very beautiful heart for animals, great and small. Let's keep going. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's the best thing since sliced bread. The early bird gets the worm. Last one. You can lead a horse to water, can't make him drink. Well done, 100%. Well done, class. Woo. Now, as much as I love and admire sayings and expressions, I'm actually really bad at using them. I'm known in my family for messing them up and using them wrong, to the point where my wife now has a list on her phone about the sayings that I've said incorrectly. And so let's see if you know some of these that I have always grown up and I've got them wrong, and then I'll tell you what I actually thought they were. So they are like two peas in a pod. I always thought they were like two peas in a pot. It makes sense. You put peas in a pot. So my wife corrected me one day and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense too. You know when someone hurts themselves and you say that they are in the wars? I always thought they were in the walls. Because as when I was growing up and I would run around the house and run into a wall and hurt myself, my mom would say, oh, Ben, you're just in the walls today. But I thought she was saying, you're in the walls. So I only learned that like 6 months ago, that it's actually in the walls, not they are in the walls today. You know when you compare something that's very similar and you're like, eh, tomato, tomato, or potato, potato. So me and my wife, so embarrassing. We're talking about something a little while ago about the same thing. And I was like, eh, yeah, potato, tomato. Completely. And I just had no idea. All right, that's enough humiliation for one day. So anyways, I usually say them wrong without realizing, and Emily's list is ever growing, so she's got some other good ones on there. But one saying that I've always loved and I've always used correctly is that of my message title today, like water off a duck's back. The meaning of this expression, like water off a duck's back, means that criticism or negative comments directed at someone have no effect on them and they do not take them to heart. So, kids, you should know this saying, because when someone at school says something to you that's mean, water off a duck's back, it doesn't affect me. In fact, adults, you also can use it instead of getting offended all the time when people say something wrong, just, whatever, God bless them, they don't know what they said, water off a duck's back. It's a good expression to apply it to our lives. But why a duck? Do you ever wonder, like, what is the true meaning of these sayings and expressions? Well, I looked it up. Ducks have a complex system of feathers that keep them warm and waterproof. Down feathers next to the skin keep ducks warm. Contour feathers with veins that function like zippers aid flight and keep ducks insulated from water and cold. A gland near their tail, known as the preen gland, has a wax-like oily substance. Ducks dip their bills into this gland and spread it all over their feathers from head to tail. This makes water... I just need a bit of a drink, sorry. This makes water literally roll off the duck's back, keeping them warm and dry and afloat. Ducks are constantly preening to repair feathers and to keep them waterproof. So a duck is waterproof because its feathers are covered in oil. Hence the saying, like water off a duck's back. And if a duck couldn't keep itself dry and therefore warm, it would eventually die, particularly in Canberra winter. So now I'm looking around, particularly at guests, trying to check out a church they can attend. And they're thinking, why am I learning about ducks in church and not about Jesus? This is a waste of time. It's not even a real duck. It's a piece of wood. All right, so because now that you have learned about a cool saying, and now that we have connected it to the duck, now you're all ready to learn something about Jesus and the freedom he's purchased for you. Amen? And I hope that every time now you see a duck, you will be reminded of this point and this message. If you make a decision, or if you have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we as Christians have a saying. We often say that we are living in Christ. Remember from the scripture? In Christ Jesus. Or we sometimes say that Christ lives in us. And if you are living in Christ, let me declare and remind this to you today. Sin will not stick to you. Sin will not define you. Sin will fall off you like water off a duck's back. Because let me tell you what the word Christ means. Christ means the anointed one. And so when we as Christians say that Christ is in me, what you are declaring is that the anointing is on you. So Christ has anointed you. In the Old Testament, when they would consecrate and dedicate something or someone to God, they would pour holy oil over them. And so in the same way, when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave, he did it so that you and I could be made holy and redeemed from our sin. Our past sin, our present sins, and our future sins have all been paid for. You are now washed clean by the blood of Christ, and you are made as white as snow, and you've been anointed to serve God in freedom. You have holy oil all over you, and you don't even realize it. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, sin cannot, will not stick to you. When you call on the name of Jesus, all filthiness falls off you like water off a duck's back. Come on, let's give God some praise. I can feel sin starting to fall off people right now. I'm going to grab the worship team up, actually. I believe God's going to do some business with some people today and set some of you free that are carrying around stuff on you that doesn't need to be there. Now, does freedom from sin mean that I won't sin no more? Unfortunately, not. I can guarantee that until the day you die, you will continue to fall short of his perfect glory and you will make mistakes. So does freedom then mean that when I can sin and go and do wild stuff as much as I want and not care anymore because I know I'll be forgiven? Of course not. When you understand the grace and kindness of God, Romans chapter 2 tells us that God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. We will still want to do our best. But when we fail, and we will, I can immediately call out to him and still live in that complete freedom that Jesus has for me. We all struggle with different areas of sin. Yours is probably different to mine. So I won't judge you and you don't judge me because yours is different as well. What is an easy discipline for you might be a hard discipline for me. What is an easy discipline for me might be a really hard discipline for you. So we won't judge each other. But we can continue to encourage each other to pursue Christ in our own journeys. I struggle with controlling my language when I get angry. And I often don't deal with anger well. There's like a biblical way that you can deal with anger, and then there's my way, which is not biblical. And I know the scriptures, I've printed them off, I've put them in my work van. A fool gives full vent to his anger. But a wise man keeps himself under control. I know the scripture, but in that moment, I don't care about the scripture. Like when the referee makes that call and my team loses because of it. Ah! When my drain machine gets stuck down a drain and I'm running late and I'm just can't get it out. Ah! This thing comes over me. And on a staff retreat a little while ago, I openly confess this and share this with everyone there, all the leaders, and about how I hate this part of me, and it's a long, it feels like a never-ending journey trying to break away from this immature response I have to anger. And I felt so comfortable to be open and honest with everyone there because I know the leaders of this church, they do not judge. They do not care what you struggle with. They just want to encourage you. And they reminded me that I didn't need to feel shame about this era of my life, but I just had to keep pursuing Christ. And when I have my days where I've failed miserably, Yes, I can feel embarrassed, and yes, I can feel disappointed in myself because I want to hold myself to a higher standard. But at the end of the day, and I mean this, I refuse to live in shame about it. I'm not rejecting what Jesus has purchased for me, which is to live a life in freedom from sin and shame. To be free from sin does not mean that I won't sin, but it means that I won't let my past define who I am. And when I think of Jesus, sin just falls off me like water off a duck's back. And so today we're going to open the altar. We're going to worship. And I want to pray for anyone who just needs to let go of those past sins, those present sins that make you feel dirty, that are robbing you from freedom in Christ. Just as Paul was preaching to the Galatians, stop trying to earn your forgiveness and salvation by doing good deeds and by doing religious things. Just come to Christ today and let His grace lead you into freedom. So today, if you need guilt and shame to just fall off you again, I'm going to invite you to come down to the altar. I'm going to pray for you. And honestly, as you come down, sin's just going to wash off you. And you're going to leave this place just so free. Amen? Amen. Hey, why don't we all stand, as we, if you're physically able to honor God. Let me turn the lights down. Why don't you open up your posture to Him as the worship team lead us in a beautiful song. If you know that that message is for you and you need to respond, if you know you just need some that sin to just fall off you, come and receive that now. I want to lay my hands on you and pray for you and just help you to receive what Jesus did for you on that cross.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.